Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Aquila Podcast. We're on episode 21. In this episode, we got a special guest and our coworker, Emily. Everyone, welcome Emily here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
How you doing today, Emily?
I am good. I'm ready to teach you guys about some swimming.
Yes, we're going to talk about swimming today, which I know absolutely nothing about.
Same. I mean, I've taken swimming before. I've done it. I'm above average.
There you go. You know, you just need a little bit of help and you can do whatever else, right?
Yeah. I know how to swim, but...
That's good. That's a start, right?
Yeah. I can save my life if I need to. Other than that, very slow. Raina, how about we start with your question?
All right, Emily. So when did you start swimming and, like, what kind of got you into it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So me, my brother, and my sister, we grew up going to the pool like basically every day in the summer. We had a couple of neighborhood pools that our mom would take us to just to get us out of the house, you know, in between, like during summer break, get some exercise, play with friends, all that good stuff. And around like 10 years old, when I was 10 at least, my mom was like, all right, you guys are going to get involved with swim team because our neighborhood pool had a really good and big swim team. And, you know, since we were going there every day anyways, we might as well, you know, get a little bit more structured exercise, learn a little bit more about swimming, make some new friends, and be a little bit more productive with our summers. So we started, like I said, when I was 10, and we did every summer then, from then on. And so that's how we kind of got started. We were quote unquote like swim pool rats before. Like everyone on the team knew us, but it took a little while for us to join the team. But then since then, you know, we joined our high school team when we got old enough and continued as like I continue to use swimming as a form of exercise sometimes. So yeah, I love it. And I'm super grateful that my mom like pushed us to jump on the team. So
that's pretty cool. Don't know of any people who were part of their high school team, because back in when I was in high school, I knew we had one, but I didn't know much or who was ever on
right.
it. So
yeah, it's definitely not one of your like more popular sports.
Did your high school have a pool? You had to go outside of the campus, right?
Correct. Yeah. So I went to Seneca Valley High School in Germantown, Maryland, and we did practices at the Germantown Indoor Center, which was very convenient. It was like 10-minute drive from the school, and also at Montgomery College in the Germantown campus. So we kind of had to do practices all over, and then meets were at other like county pools, indoor pools, and whatnot. So that's why it's probably not the most popular sport, because you know, the schools didn't have their own pool, but, you know, it was a great team sport, co-ed, whether it was summer team or like high school team. So you get to meet a lot of people of all ages. I mean, summer swim team was from like 4 years old till 18. So, you know, you get to bond with people your age as well as kind of mentor younger kids. And I eventually started coaching for my summer team as well. So yeah, definitely was a great option for my mom to have us join that swim team. I'm super grateful.
Did you ever swim competitively, like on those club teams, like FAST and MAC?
No, I did not. My sister ended up her like high school year. She did. They're quite expensive and very time consuming. And so I did like at one point ask my parents to join RMSC, I think it is, Rockville Montgomery Swim Club, I believe, which is one of the bigger, more popular swim clubs around here. I think they just couldn't afford it or didn't have time. You know, I had a brother and a sister, so we all had different kind of sports and stuff that we were involved in. So I kind of like wished I did, because you learn a lot and you get way better when you're on a club team because you're swimming year round, multiple days a week. So you definitely pick up a lot of skills. So because I started swimming competitively late at like 10 years old, like I said, some kids start at like 4 years old. And then like a lot of kids I swim against were swimming club year round. So I wasn't like the best, unfortunately, but I did, you know, like improve a great bit throughout the years, and I enjoyed it a lot. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's move into the fitness aspect of swimming. So what are some differences between swimming and other aerobic and cardio exercises?
Yeah, so cardio or aerobic exercise is super important and like vital for everyone, no matter your age or fitness level, to take part in. So it works that cardiovascular system, working in protecting that heart health. And as we get older, that, you know, can only be emphasized more, right? So with aerobic and cardio exercises, your main ones, you're thinking running, jogging, walking, a rowing machine, stair stepper, elliptical, cycling. All those are very easy to use, typically machine-wise, and available at most gyms, or you can do them outside, right? With swimming, it has a few benefits that some of those other exercises can't offer you. One of the big ones is less or even no impact on your joints, right? So when you run, and maybe as you get older, your knees aren't so great, or you have hip problems, or this and that, like a lot of those people who have those issues aren't going to want to run or even walk, or use a Stairmaster or X, Y, and Z. Swimming is great if you have those, tend to have those issues, because you're not beating your like foot against the ground consistently when you walk, like when you walk or run, or climbing the Stairmaster or etc. So it's really great on your joints. So if you happen to be, you know, someone who's older or just have joint problems in general, it's really safe for you to partake in swimming, and more comfortable, right? Another great benefit that you might not get from some of those other cardio exercises I listed is it's a full body exercise, right? When you're swimming laps, no matter what stroke you're doing, and I'll talk about the strokes and different ways you can exercise in the pool in a little bit, but almost whatever you're doing a full body exercise right there. Back to the running example or walking example, it's a focus on the lower body and your core. Upper body isn't doing a whole lot. Stairmaster, same thing. Cycling, same thing. All great. These are all great exercises, and I'm not shaming them, but there is like a slight benefit to swimming because you're constantly moving your arms and working those upper body muscles, as well as the lower body and your core and your glutes and all that good stuff. So saves you some time, you know, if you don't have time to do a strength exercise, getting that upper body work done, you can do it while you're swimming. So that's a great benefit.
Yeah, those are fantastic points. But it does some downside I would say a lot of people don't have access to a pool.
Right. And that's definitely right. And I was gonna get to that.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Like,
okay.
Yeah, no, you're good. Like, of course, like swimming, yeah, I could go on about, you know, how great it is, but it unfortunately is not the most accessible form of exercise. You know, you have to have a pool, even if it's an outdoor pool, it has to be warm out. Like most gyms don't have a lap lanes or whatever. So yeah. So this is all really, if you have access to it. So, but I understand it is difficult, but a couple other points, two more I want to point out again, like versus the traditional aerobic exercise, it's aerobic and strength in one, right? So the water is a resistance. So whether you realize it or not, you are pushing against that water and getting a strength aspect out of that workout while also challenging your cardiovascular system. Lastly, it helps you, or should I say forces you, to focus on breathing with your movement. So like when you're swimming, if your head is underwater, you're obviously not getting some air. So it kind of forces you to take in the breaths and to pattern it, the breathing properly, which takes time and practice and skill. But with like running or cycling or whatever, sometimes people don't have the best breathing technique, and this swimming kind of forces you to kind of have to learn, right? So those are like the four main points, you know, compared to your traditional aerobic.
So off the top of your head, are there any other benefits you could probably think of that you would prefer to do swimming over any other form of aerobic exercises?
Yeah. So, Just generally speaking, it can help kind of keep your routine, your workout routine, fresh and kind of spice it up a little bit. So if you're someone who maybe like you hop on the elliptical Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and do your strength exercises every other day, you know, you might get bored, or you might kind of be thinking, what else could I kind of do to get some cardio in my routine? That's a great way to kind of switch it up. It's good for, say, I keep using the running example, but it's just a good one to kind of compare to. If you're training for like a race or you just are a big runner and you need a, like a deload week, say like right after a race, you're like, I don't want to run anymore. My legs are shot from running, but I do want to keep up my cardiovascular fitness level, as well as, you know, again, just switching it up, but I don't want to run anymore, or I don't want to cycle anymore. That's another way for you, again, to challenge that cardiovascular system, getting your cardio in, but in a different way, right? So just switching it up, especially if you've been training for something and you still want to keep that training level at a similar like rate. I mentioned it earlier, it's a full body cardio and strength workout. So, you know, you can kind of get a little bit of everything done in one session, swimming session. And it's also fun. I mean, again, it's not the easiest. It does require a lot of skill and practice. But if you happen to already know how to swim, or even, and it doesn't have to be the prettiest form wise, or, you know, you don't have to go the fastest for you to get something out of it. It's like I said, like most people enjoy, if they know how to swim, enjoy it. So, it can be a fun way to add workout into your day.
Yeah, I wish I had a gym close by that had a pool, because then I would be able to do some cardio instead of running into.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, it's nice. Just, I mean, I'm, at least for me personally, if I do the same like type of cardio, for example, like strength, there's so many things that you can do that you can like switch it up every time. But with cardio, like I kind of have to switch it up every time. Otherwise I like lose interest and then I end up not doing as much as I should. So I always try to do like, you know, running a few days a week, and then those other days I'll try swimming or cycling or something like that. But you know, if what gets you in the gym or gets you moving is going on the elliptical every day, like that works too. But if you're someone who needs to kind of play around with what you're doing with your exercise, try swimming and see if you like it, you know?
Yeah. So you mentioned the different strokes. Did you have a preference or a strength in any of them in particular?
Yeah, I did. So there's the four main strokes are freestyle, or sometimes people call it front crawl, breaststroke, and butterfly. So freestyle is like your main one that probably 90% of people who swim laps for exercise will do. It's probably the simplest to learn and to do. Backstroke is a little bit trickier if you have trouble like being on your back. Breaststroke is another one that you see a lot of people doing. It's a much more leisure stroke. Like you can even keep your head up the whole time while doing breaststroke. It's a little bit, like technique wise, it's tricky, but in terms of just getting just some movement in and being, if you want to take it at a low intensity, that's a great one. And then butterfly is super hard and takes a lot of effort and skill. So when I was on swim team, my strength from the beginning was butterfly. And then, which is weird because most people like hate it and like are not good at it, but that was my skill. That was my pro. And then I ended up the last few years of my career, I started to get better at backstroke as well. So I loved those two. Freestyle, I was very average, if not a little bit below average. And then I don't even want to talk about breaststroke. I was absolutely terrible at it in terms of like my like speed. I guess my technique was okay, but maybe not since I was never that fast. But they say there's like a kind of joke out there in the swimming world that if you're a butterflyer, that's your like your strong suit, you're typically not a breaststroker, maybe even suck at breaststroke, and then vice versa. So, which, you know, it's fine. I mean, everyone has their pros and cons. My sister ended up being very good at both butterfly and breaststroke. So she, I guess, was the oddball out. So those are the four main strokes. Like if you're talking about competitive swimming, and I'm not going to go into the detail of like technique or anything. But so you can do that. You can play around with those four strokes while you're swimming. You can just stick with one or two. When I like swim laps leisurely, like for exercise, I typically do a mix of all four, you know, just so I don't get bored. You can also, and if you're maybe not a great swimmer in terms of the four strokes, and you like are self-conscious and you don't want to, you know, like make a fool of yourself if you're worried people are watching, or if you just don't know how, you really don't know where to start, but you want to try getting in the pool to get some cardio done. A lot of people go to like a shallow part of the pool, one end of the lap to the other, and you can simply walk up and down. You can grab some like little water barbells if you want, or not, you know. So I see people even like grabbing their phone and texting and listening to watching a movie or whatever above the water while they're walking. So you could do that. You can walk. Everyone, you know, can walk pretty much. You can take an aquatic group X class. Maybe not so now, so much now with COVID, but I know a lot of gyms, YMCAs, et cetera. If they have a pool big enough for it, they tend to offer a few aquatic classes, strength-based, cardio-based, whatever you can think of. So you can try one of those. And you can also, you might see people on, again, like a shallow part of the pool at the end of the lap near the wall. They can do, like, you can do some strength exercises with it. So you can see, you can do, like, tricep push-ups or, like, tricep dips, push-ups. You can hold onto the wall and do leg extensions, leg curls. You know, the list goes on. And again, it's even though you're not holding dumbbells or have ankle weights around your ankles, you're still pushing against resistance with low impact on those joints. So, you know, there's a tons of things you can do with that. So it's not just swimming with, you know, your goggles and your cap on and you're going nonstop for 23 minutes. Like, there's so many other things that you can do in the water that's going to get all those other benefits that we already talked about. So you kind of have to play around with them and figure out which one works for you. So
yeah, those aquatic classes are really, really great for the older population. Cause like you mentioned, the low impact is huge. Yeah. And still got a great workout.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The gym that I go to, before COVID, don't think they probably do it much now, but, before COVID they had one, that, you know, had really fun music. It was a huge class. People loved them. Mostly older folks, like you mentioned, but, you know, some younger folks as well. And they had like some barbells, the little mini barbells and other little pool equipment. And the instructor just took them through a bunch of different movements, you know, and like nothing crazy. But, you know, I could see they were like huffing and puffing and they were enjoying it. So that's definitely an option there.
It's also good for rehabbing an injury, for doing PT, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and get to the pool. Yeah. Even if maybe a broken arm too. It's really great stuff. I love swimming when I can.
Yeah, no, it's super great. I mean, again, it's just unfortunate it's not as easily accessible as like running or walking or elliptical even. But, you know, for those who have you know, a pool, a community pool that they can even go to just during the summer months, or if they have a gym that has a lap lane or two. You know, it's just tricky even at the gyms and indoor pools. You know, you kind of have to fight for the lane if they don't have a whole lot of lanes, you know. So it's not the most convenient, but if you happen to have access to a pool, you know, like we said, we just listed like four or five different ways you can get moving in there. So.
So as we get into like incorporating swimming into your workouts, on top of that, I also mm-hmm. want to know, is this something you could do every day, or would you recommend maybe taking a rest if you were to swim as often as possible, still take a day in between to rest, or what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, so I think if you're new to swimming or even new to exercise in general, definitely recommend kind of spacing it out. You know, like you should always have at least at the minimum like one rest day or like very minimal like kind of exercise day for your muscles to fully recover and your joints to recover. And so with swimming, if you're someone who's maybe trying to get into it, like you listen to this podcast and you're like, you know what? Yeah, let's go to the gym and try out swimming. You know, I would maybe take it one day, see how you feel, get back into it 2 days later or a day, 3 days later. You know, I wouldn't necessarily go in 5 days in a row right at the start if you've never swam before or never haven't swam in many years or something. Same thing with running. You know, you don't want to go from not having ran at all for X amount of months and then going into it 5 days a week, 2.5 miles each day, you know, like you definitely want to ease into it. Everybody is different. But because again, it is a full body exercise, you may need a little, like a day or two in between sessions until your body gets more used to it. And you can get more, you know, like more sessions in with your rest days in between. And it doesn't have to be a 20-30 minute exercise session. So you can do it as like a warm up. Again, this is kind of inconvenient because you have to get your suit on, you have to dry off and change. But, you know, putting that aside, you can use swimming as a little warm up, a 10 or so 15 minute warm up, nice and easy, or a cool down after your other exercises. You can do it as one of your rest days. You can go nice and slow and easy, or just walk up and down the pool a few times. Just as like an active recovery day. Maybe had a tough week of training and strength and running and cycling classes, and you still want to move, but you're not trying to break a sweat or do anything too crazy. Go for a quick few easy laps or walks up and down the lap lane. So it kind of is up to you and what your fitness level and what your training goals are. But if you just want to kind of throw it in there as just another form of cardio, you could do at least probably 2 or 3 days a week, and then build up to that to more if you prefer.
Yeah, I feel like training for swimming, their lung capacity would be so much better.
Yes. Well, that's
another aerobic activity, I think.
Right. And that too. That's a good point that you made. Like, it's a little bit different than just being on a treadmill or a rowing machine, because you're constantly you have constant access to oxygen. So that definitely plays a role. You kind of have to build up to that. And if you're completely new to swimming, like, and you know, you take a few classes or lessons and you learn, like, your endurance is probably going to be pretty low, I would think, for most people. I also teach lessons on the side. And I teach everywhere from like 2 and 3 year olds to I've had a couple adults as well. So, and the adults, even though they're obviously like much stronger and overall their endurance is greater than children, usually when it comes to swimming, it's like a whole new world. If you're learning how to swim and, you know, like with proper technique and all that, like, they usually have to start out very slow and like small bits at a time. You know, they won't be able to do a whole lap, you know, even with good form for a little while, because you just have to build up to that. And you're not used to not having full access to oxygen all the time. So that plays a big role as well.
So getting into swimming, right? For adults, or even like young adults, kids, teenagers, when you're personal or getting into the gym, it's assume it's a little easier to like kind of watch a YouTube video and kind of pick up how to do a couple exercises. There's easier ones than others in the gym, but as far as swimming, is it normal for people to teach themselves, or would you advise people to always have a teacher or an instructor to get them into swimming?
So, I mean, I think for kids, most kids that I know of either get lessons from like an instructor or a swim team or something, or like their parents kind of teach them. And that's just because, like, you know, they're not tall enough to, you know, like survive if they go into like five, right? Whereas adults, like, you know, if we're tall enough, we can at least like stand if we need to. In terms of adults, if you've like never really learned, you could, I guess, kind of teach yourself, just like with anything. And yeah, you made a good point, like with a squat, you can kind of watch a few videos, do it, compare yourself, take the video of yourself. It's a little bit harder with swimming because of just the being in and out of the pool is a lot of work. So, I mean, I guess it depends what you want out of it. If you want to be super efficient and be able to swim for 30, 40 minutes nonstop as your main form of cardio, then yeah, you might want to get like someone to teach you, or, you know, just put a lot of work into teaching yourself. I personally probably would not teach myself just because I already know how difficult it is to teach someone else. So to learn yourself, it's gotta be really hard. But, so I would probably recommend getting an instructor, but if you just kind of, you can learn a lot from people around you, right? Like if you're just at the pool, you can just kind of, while you're tanning or just relaxing on the pool deck, you can watch how people swim and kind of get an idea. But there's just also that risk of the drowning if you're in a deep end, like, and like efficiency, like if you want to do it for just, you know, like a little bit and walk some laps instead of swimming the whole time, like, you know, you could probably get away with it. But to get probably the most out of it, I would suggest an instructor. But there's, like we mentioned, there's so many other ways. If you're like, don't want to, you know, set up the time and effort to get an instructor, or whatever. You can walk instead. You can do those group X classes. You can do some strength exercises at the pool. Okay. So, or you can, you know, play around with it and teach yourself in the shallow end and just be safe. So there's a tons of different kind of ways you can get around it, but that's my intake, but everyone's different.
All right. So I'm going to ask my question. So what, in your career swimming, what was your favorite moment and your least favorite moment?
Okay. So, I think I mentioned this earlier. I was like pretty average overall in my swimming ability. You know, I wasn't like the fastest. A lot of my competitors were like year round swimmers. So, you know, that humbled me, but I still loved swimming and had a lot of fun moments. So I think one of my favorite moments, or at least most memorable moment, is on my summer swim team. I can't tell you the year. I'll probably say around, maybe I was like early high school, I would think, for me. I was on a relay team, 200 meter IM relay, which is each of the four strokes, and each a separate person does each leg of the relay. So I was, I believe, the butterfly leg, and it's typically like your strongest stroke. Like I was strongest in butterfly. Another girl was super good at breaststroke, so she had the breaststroke portion, backstroke, and freestyle, etc. You don't want someone who sucks at breaststrokes being in the breaststroke leg unless, you know, absolutely necessary. But anyway, so I was the butterfly leg because that was my strong suit, and we broke the team record that year at meet.
Oh, wow.
I don't know by how many seconds, but, you know, it was pretty cool to be a part of that. I was, again, only one of four girls in that race, like in that, on that team. So it wasn't all me, but it was kind of cool to be a part of it.
Yeah, so anytime you break a record,
yeah, that's awesome. Good
feeling. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was pretty cool. I got a little, I think there's like a plaque on the wall in the pool, like pool house with my name on it somewhere on the record thing. So assuming it hasn't been broken yet, which I think it might have been, but that's okay. So that was one of my favorite moments. And then one of my least favorite moments, I've probably had a ton of bad races, but especially all those breaststroke races. But one of my least favorite was high school swimming. They had longer races. Like in summer swimming, I mostly did 50 meter races, which are like sprints, basically. In high school, they had some 100 meters, still considered sprints, 200, kind of mid distance, 500, etc. And my coach made me do like a 200 butterfly. I think it was like a regional meet or something like that. So it was kind of a big deal, but I think it was, she just put me in there because I was one of the stronger butterfly swimmers on the team. But 200 meters, if you're not familiar, is 8 laps of a typical indoor 25 meter, 25 yard pool, right? So 8 laps of butterfly, which again, does not sound that bad, but butterfly was very difficult. It took a lot of strength. And it wipes you out pretty quickly, at least for me, who's an average swimmer. So I did a 200, which again, 8 laps. And again, it was kind of an important meet and I absolutely died. And I remember just really like suffering through that, after like the 100 or 150 mark. So that was rough.
That sounds super hard.
Yeah, it was not fun. I'm sure I got last or like very close to it. So I will like admit that any day, but and then I swam a couple 500 freestyle, which is 20 laps, I think, which isn't terrible if you're an endurance swimmer, but it's also not the most fun. And then basically anytime I had to swim breaststroke was the worst. So but yeah, I mean, I loved swimming. Like I said, I was not the best. I didn't swim in college, didn't bother trying out, although kind of regret it looking hindsight, but that's okay. But it's, you know, I've learned this skill that is not only a life skill. I mean, of course, if I were to, knock on wood, ever fall off a boat in the middle of an ocean or something, like I'd like to think I could survive for a few hours just by learning, like knowing how to swim and survive. But now I have a skill that I can use to swim laps leisurely for fun. Sometimes I ask a friend to swim with me. It's a great form of exercise. It's different than any other exercise you would do on land. And it has like great benefits. So I'm like super grateful to like not only know how to swim for survival, but also for like, you know, exercise and fun. So yeah, I would definitely recommend to anyone who knows how to swim to try to start swimming laps, maybe try to incorporate that in your workout if you can, or to learn and see what else you can do in the water.
I think the last question we had was, so are there any contradictions to swimming?
Yeah. So, you know, of course, with swimming versus other like land exercises, you know, there's a risk of drowning or, you know, that kind of stuff. So, of course, if you don't know how to swim, you're learning, you know, stay in that shallow ends. That way you can stand up if you can't get yourself back up. So there's of course that, which is a serious aspect to it, but also if you just have like heart or seizure problems where you could at any given moment, whether it's exercise induced or not, if you could any given moment like go unconscious, even if you're a top tier swimmer or been swimming for years, you know, if you have something like that, you might want to talk to your doctor or something about that, or make sure that, you know, you have something, someone closely watching you, so that way if you ever, God forbid, have a seizure mid swimming or while you're in the water doing whatever, someone can help you and save you. Because even if you're in a shallow end, you're in 4 feet and you're 6 foot, you can clearly stand and be fine. But if you're unconscious and you fall underwater, you know, that's not great at all. So, you know, if you have some problems where you fall unconscious unexpectedly or whatever, you definitely want to talk to someone about that, or maybe kind of look into other forms of exercise away from the pool or something like that, just so you don't risk, you know, drowning or getting hurt that manner. And yeah, so those are the only ones that I can think of at the top of my head. You know, if you have like a broken bone, you might not be able to do certain movements in the water as well, even though it is great for joints and recovery and rehab. There may be some things that you have to kind of be careful of. But other than that, it's a fairly safe exercise for all ages.
Yeah, definitely consult a doctor if you have any, like, comorbidities or something like that. Just to make sure. Because swimming is – you can overexert yourself pretty easily.
Yeah, that too. Right. And even outside of, like, any kind of known, like, disorders that you have. Like, you know, same thing with any other kind of exercise. Like, if you kind of go a little bit too far – there's definitely some issues that can come into play, and there's just that added risk of being in the water. Like, you just, you know, don't want to go underwater without knowing and stuff. So, yeah, issues, known issues or not, definitely kind of consult your doctor if you're new to exercise or new to this, form of exercise before you kind of jump into it. No pun intended.
That was a good one.
Any other questions you wanted to ask Emily, Matt?
I don't think so. Very informational. I learned a lot today.
Well, good.
Is there anything else you wanted to add, Emily, before we end today?
I think that's all it. You know, just, I mean, that's just one way that you can get moving. You just got to find whatever works for you to get your body moving and to live a healthy life and be happy. So,
right. Love that. Thank you so much for coming on, Emily.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, maybe we could have you back on another time and we could pick your brain on other fitness topics.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I appreciate that.
All right, that'll wrap it up for this week. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see everyone next week.
All right, stay safe, everybody.